This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
What are your hobbies?
You know, candles, long walks on the beach.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We're in beautiful Burbank.
Oh, it's just picturesque.
I thought today, and it was my idea, to have no guest and just catch up with my friend Karen.
That's right. And I said, I don't want to do it that way. And then we fought and fought.
We did.
And Chris won.
I'm good at dodging punches.
I kicked him in the jaw, it didn't affect him at all.
It's funny because it's been a while since you and I had a physical fist fight. I forgot how much kicking you try and do.
I do my kicking is very much Broadway dance based.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I'll do kicking from the musical Oklahoma, which is outside to side.
Yeah.
It's not helpful.
It's also quite a giveaway right before we fight, you put on leggings.
and stretch for 45 minutes.
Leg warmers. Leg warmers came back, right?
Not that I know of, but I'm not the person to ask.
Look, they shouldn't.
That's a brand new building. That's like brand new. Wow.
You know what isn't a brand new building? The one I moved into.
Oh!
I went and bought, I bought new lamps and thought I could do it myself. And I took down the old lamps on the ceiling and on the walls, and which are from, I think my building's from around the 30s.
1830s?
The 1830s.
Right.
Well, that's when it was wired, because I brought down, there's two scary wires. I turned off the power. I'm no fool. Mm-hmm. I YouTubed a video. But the wires, I pulled them down and everything covering it, which I guess at one point was fabric, crumbled away, revealing copper just exposed wire. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I turned the power back on and just, I've left it alone. That's all, as far as I got. The lamp is on the floor, and I have not. I have to hire an electrician.
Now you're going to get over to fixing the toaster with that fork.
Yes,
that's your next plan. Don't do any of these electrical things yourself, no matter how... I know you think you're handy. That's a big part of your whole personality. It's one of your hobbies.
I'm a man, and I want to do man things.
Man stuff like Tim Allen. But please, don't risk your life this way.
I knew when to stop myself, because there's one thing I'm scared of, and that is voltage going through my body.
As you should be. I think that's very natural.
I even bought, you know, those little 70s plastic plugs you put in outlets? I went ahead and got myself some of those.
You mean to plug it up?
Plug up the holes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that a puppy?
It is a tiny puppy.
Look at that tiny.
Oh, that's almost too tiny. That's like a Burmese mountain puppy.
It was a miniature puppy.
My friend Ryan has a miniature golden retriever. Have I told you that?
What? No.
It's a golden retriever, puppy-sized, that will never get large.
Oh, that's from science. I don't know if I agree with that.
No, they just, it's a test tube kit. You buy it.
You pour chemicals on the regular dog.
Well, no, you got to get the real stuff from the real dog in that process.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Husbandry, animal husbandry at its finest.
You put him a little bonnet on him. You don't let him have any opinions.
The first thing I thought of when you said a miniature golden retriever is a corgi.
I know.
Like, don't they already have those?
I don't know how they acquired it. And maybe it was a rescue. Maybe you have to wait longer. I don't know.
But maybe they broke it out of the science jail that it was in.
Right, right. The laboratory.
The laboratory?
Laboratory.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know when it puns there and it just doesn't work out?
Yeah.
Maybe it's for the best.
Your ears refuse to hear what it should be.
Right. I knew what it was, but my body.
The laboratory?
Yeah, thank you. The laboratory.
That's, you know what, that pun is from the Scholastic Book Order. That's like a puzzle in the Scholastic Book Order.
Yeah, that's like a pun that'd be the winning final pun at the O. Henry Pun Off in Austin, Texas.
Would it win, though? I'm giving your pun a hard time.
No, it's fine.
It's not
fine.
How I feel.
I came to this city with a lot of puns in my hip sack.
In your bindle?
And I was told right away that wordplay should not, keep them to myself. But there are groups out there that really appreciate puns.
Millennials?
And that's a real thing, the O. Henry Pun Off. It's like,
is that true?
Yeah, it was a thing in Austin. And I was like, I could do that. Because you have to come up with them on the spot, so it's like an improv thing.
Did you do it?
I didn't do it.
Oh.
I was too scared, and...
I bet you could do it, though.
But now, unfortunately, the desire's gone away.
You guys want to go to Starbucks, right?
Of course. Yeah. You don't even have to ask.
I
don't
go to Starbucks,
so
I'm gonna get started for you.
Hi, can I get a double tall one pump mocha?
Double tall, what was that?
One pump mocha? Steven?
Classic.
Venti.
Venti vanilla latte, please.
Could I also get a venti vanilla latte hot?
I'll have a iced coffee, a medium iced coffee.
And a grande iced coffee, please.
Black?
Yes.
Cool. Anything else?
That's going to be it.
So pretty.
Okay. All right. Let's not fight. Steven, do you mind handing me my wallet with all of our beautiful gift cards inside?
Ooh.
Starbucks order today brought to us by... Now, I may or may not have been using these without you guys.
Oh.
I can't be trusted.
That's quite all right.
I'll definitely pull one of these out if it comes up. So.
And that was a gift for our podcast?
Yes. I want to say I wrote it on the original, and I did already say it once, but I think her name was Amanda. It's something that starts with an A.
I'm pretty sure it was Amanda, but also consult a few episodes ago, listeners.
Yeah. We got this as a gift in Pittsburgh? Perhaps Pittsburgh.
I looked at my notes and I can confirm it was Amanda from Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay,
sweet.
Perfect.
Thank you. Who's that?
Cool. Free.
10 left? Sweet.
Nice.
Wow. Thank you. It's yours.
Thanks.
Nice. Thanks, Amanda.
We got everything?
Yeah.
Kids.
Do you have to go to the bathroom before
we
leave?
Oh, we left the kids.
We left the kids in the drive-thru. Kids.
But I bought a snowboard pass that works at mountains throughout the United States. That's all I was going to say. It's just I can go at different mountains in Colorado. I can go to Whistler in Canada. I can go to Big Bear here. I can go to Mammoth here. And it was half the price of a pass somewhere. You just buy it early.
Oh, that's great.
So next year, I'm just going to be Mr. Snowboard Man if I don't injure my goddamn hip again.
Yeah, please be careful. But I was going to say, why didn't you go, and maybe it's just the weather wasn't there for you, but why wouldn't you go to Big Bear this time?
It is over. Big Bear is now 70 degrees and the snow is ruined.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been warm.
Okay.
Yeah, and they didn't get the kind of snow that Mammoth and Tahoe got. Those are just the big mountains. They get the big snow, and it's a big-ass drive to get there.
Got it.
If I took a gamble, you don't ever know. I'm not a weatherman or a meteorologist.
No, and also, the drive to Mammoth is absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
I love that drive. I love those weird mountains that come up when you're going toward it. They're on the left-hand side.
Yeah, Mount McKinley, for God's sake.
It looks like something from Jane Eyre. It's so dramatic and beautiful.
It looks like a Ansel Adams photo, except it's in color.
It does, and there's along the way, you see these little farms that are nestled into the base of mountains that then go straight up behind them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am going to move there.
There's also just shacks where people are squatting and clearly doing meth or something.
Oh.
I'm like, look at that abandoned building. And I looked closely as we drove by this windowless, doorless fuselage of a building. And there was a light on and there was a guy in there. I'd like to think hugging himself, trembling.
Now, can I suggest, could it have been like, say, a milking house on a dairy property?
It was too dilapidated and scary. But maybe he was milking in the dark.
But on crack, so too fast.
Hey, you can get a lot of udders squeezed when you're on the old white pony.
But they sure don't like it.
They don't like it. It's too hard today.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Jerry. Jerry. It
was,
you got to make sure your car doesn't break down on that road, I guess.
No, that's the other thing. I don't own a brand new car. I don't have four-wheel drive. There's so many things that, what an expensive, flawed interest I've gotten myself into. As a kid, I just didn't have new stuff. I had a front-wheel drive car with one snow tire that would break down. But now, as an adult, I can't have anything go wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is expensive.
Yes.
It's like, how do you get into wakeboarding was something that I sort of was into just because it's near that sport a little bit. But you have to own a boat? What? Who owns boats? Only assholes own boats. I'm not an asshole.
No, you're not.
You guys would tell me if I was, right?
I mean, yeah, but maybe off mic?
Right.
No, you're not. And I think those interests oftentimes are very like family dependent. It's like, yeah. I like wakeboarding because our family goes to blah, 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 and we have a boat and we go to this lake and we have a cabin, and there's almost you're born into that culture, maybe.
Right.
It's hard to be an independent person in the world and then be like, guess what I'm going to get into? Downhill skiing.
Right, right. It also has to do with where you grew up. I mean, at my school, a bus came and took you up to the mountain.
Really?
A mountain that no longer gets snow because, you know, the Al Gore thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it is.
You know, because of propaganda.
Yes, yes. Made up propaganda that happened. You know, if you talk about something enough, it just comes true.
That's right.
These damn liberals. Loose lips sink ships. And it also, you know, affects the environment.
It's true. It is true.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody... Well, it came true because you whining snowflakes got rid of the snowflakes.
But we just left. We were in Denver last weekend.
Oh, yeah. We left it on winter again?
It was hot when we were there. It was like balmy. And then my dad goes, ooh, you got out of Denver just in time. And yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? And there was a full-on blizzard.
You know that they say that is where they really do say you don't like the weather.
Just hang out for a little while?
That would wait 5 minutes. That is a Denver. It really does happen in Denver. Me and my friends were there. It snowed a bunch in the 90s. And then like a foot downtown. And then by the end of the day, it was dry and we went skateboarding and the sun was out. It was,
wow.
And they say that everywhere, though. They do. Every state's in competition for the most fickle weather.
I think sometimes sayings like that, it's just to prepare people for the inevitable unexpected. You know what I mean? It's like saying, hey, don't get too comfortable in your sweater.
Right.
Don't relax.
Everything comes to an end.
And things change and go opposite. And this is the pendulum of life that we're all stuck on.
Yeah.
Stop acting like it's going to be winter for the rest of your goddamn life.
Yeah, yeah. It starts with the weather and then it ends with you're never going to get the job you wanted either.
Right. It starts with the fickleness of weather that goes into your abject failure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough.
Weather is just training you for never getting what you want in life.
Yes. Yeah. And why should you? What have you ever done?
Yeah. You think you, just because you were born, you deserve everything you want?
No.
You got to pull up your bootstraps and work for it.
And pay your taxes. Oh, tax day is coming up. Can I share a moment with the two of you?
Sure.
Tax day?
Is it about filing for an extension?
It's about me burping straight into the microphone.
Good.
I just signed my tax papers for this year, which is a great feeling, because for 5 years I didn't do my taxes.
Still?
No.
Oh, right, right. I remember those dark days. I was in the same boat.
Yes, we would talk about it often, but my dream came true. Like, I mean, it happened. I've done it now for, say, 3 years, but it's just, this is the world I wanted to live in, which is someone comes and hands me my tax papers and I just sign them, and it's taken care of for me. And that has been my goal, more so than fame, fortune, performing, is just someone do my taxes and all I do is sign, and then someone takes the package away. And that just happened right before you guys got to my house. And I would like to thank God, Yahweh, the goddess, the Maya Earth,
Jay,
who actually is the one who did it.
The guy that actually did it.
and Lila, my accountant.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. But what about, though, and not to get all into tax talk, but everyone's thinking about it. If this podcast is nothing, which is,
if
it's not funny, everyone's thinking about taxes right
now.
Well,
yes.
Don't you?
It does come out on April 15th, so.
Oh,
it's tax day!
Oh, happy tax day,
perfect.
Everybody.
Thank you, Steven.
You're welcome. But I'd have to tally up my receipts. I fill out a spreadsheet. I'm the only one that has access to that information. I look at my old bank records. I try. You know, I think it's a conspiracy, though. A lot of these receipts just self-destruct. They're on some sort of copy paper, and by the end of the year, it's just shiny, and there's no... You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, where the ink slides off.
Yeah, and it looks like it was burnt. Like, some of mine look like they were held, an iron was put on them.
It's because you set them out in the sun that way.
I do. I put all my receipts on a windowsill like an avocado.
I told you not to. I said, no more toothpicks in the receipts. And you said, I'll do what I want. I'm a snowboarder.
Yeah. And then you started kicking me again.
Always kicking to the side and to the side, hoping one day you would go to my right or left.
What is this, a Zumba class? Anyways, I don't know how that could get done for you. How do you do your expenses? You have expenses.
I do.
Yeah.
It's all done by my accountant.
That's amazing.
It basically went from me being so financially fucked that my only solution that I could come up with personally was sit and cry and then never talk about
it. Hey, I've been there.
Right?
I know a lot of people that have been there.
But here's what I think anybody, if you might be in this situation, please remember. Don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Look for answers. And ask for help from people you trust, not people either you don't know or who won't help you. Because I went to different people for help, and when I wouldn't get the help the way I needed it, it would make me not ask again for a long time until I finally, like, basically, you know, got a good job, was able to, like, take the steps. Sometimes you can't go from A to F.
Right.
And you have to just wait and be in the bad, uncomfortable, unhappy part. But you can always be working toward the next step. And I think that idea, even if you're just visualizing yourself being in the place where you want to be, you can do that for yourself. And I swear to God, this is someone who, this happened to me. This is real. I didn't do anything except for that podcast that My Favorite Murder became a hit, and suddenly I had the ability to change the situation.
Right.
But that was, you know, that's because I put in a bunch of work on that.
Right, right. But so you also, it has to be, I mean, I'm not saying I'm worse off, but you know how I can only do one thing at a time physically. I am that way mentally too. If I think about any task and it's daunting, I really avoid it because I know there are steps, and I'm like, I'll just take care of this. I can do this right now. And I let years stack up at one point. just and pretended it wasn't happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very natural. I think people beat themselves up so much for having human reactions to scary things. And so, like, I was ashamed that I didn't get take care of it. I felt like a bad adult. All these things where I used it to even pile on more, where it was bad enough. I was having a bad time enough already.
Right.
I didn't need to get beaten up over the fact that it happened or that it was happening. So, I don't know. I can't say it's not like the solution, because when you have tax problems, it just feels like scary and everything.
Yeah.
But you don't have to sit in it and suffer. You right. can like take little steps and take, it's all about little changes toward the big change.
Every once in a while, and it, when my back's against the wall and something huge just happened, like for instance, I just moved and I threw away a lot of my mail and receipt thing. I'm not great at paper shredding. Sure. I should have, but I was throwing them all away into a recycled bin that has a lock on it in my alley. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I kept getting notifications and I was ignoring them from Sprint saying, do you want to activate your new device? Because at one point I got an iPad a while ago. Someone had been ordering phones to my account.
Yeah.
I had thousands of dollars, and they were being delivered to a hotel near my house.
Oh my God.
And addressed to me. And so I called who I thought was Sprint, and it was a guy. I gave my credit card. I hate that I'm admitting this, but I gave my credit card info to a person that just had the script in front of them. And I realized it after it happened, and so I got a new card, so I stopped that one.
Wait, explain that better so that people have a better awareness of what that trick is, because it had to do with you applying to an apartment, right?
Do not ever, if someone calls you claiming they are your cellular company, just hang up and call them, because there are people that can call you and make their number pop up, the Sprint number pop up, and yep. That's what this person was able to do. I talked to the Sprint fraud guy, and he kind of walked me through what they were able to do. Also, this person, they were nice to me. They were talking like we had some banter. They were a normal person, but yep. They got a lot of my information and said, okay, we're going to put a fraud thing on this. You have to go into a store now. You can't call or online order anything. This was the guy, though. He had this Sprint script in front of him, and he tricked me. And I'm not dumb. Like, I should have seen it coming, but then another device, it said, do you want to activate this device? I'm like, I thought we dealt with this. And I called Sprint and they said, you never talked to our fraud department.
Oh,
that would
no.
be on record. And so I had to call my bank, get new cards. And then I called this hotel that these showed up at, and they said, no one came to pick up your tablet. So we sent it back. So it got sent back to Sprint,
oh,
which
good.
Is good.
That's great.
So, but for a while, I was like, really, this is happening? Like,
yeah.
Thousands of dollars, an iPad, some new iPhones, things I would love to have. You know, I have a rickety old phone. It smokes when I turn it on. And I was so frustrated. And it's while I'm moving. Like, I'm dealing with this as I have a paintbrush in my hand. Anyway.
So
I
crazy.
Think it's all taken care of, but don't throw away your receipts and things in mail.
Yeah, shred it.
It is important. I've always heard that. And that's why I had a joke about ripping things in half and ripping those in half. And because I'm hoping my identity thief just hates puzzles. That's an old joke of mine, but it's real.
It's true.
And it's based on Michelle Balloon telling me a long time ago to get a paper shredder. I'm like, ah. And I'm just letting it. I'm airing out my problems, because I just made a mistake.
Well, no, because also that you could prevent another person from having that happen, because there's lots of people who don't. I wouldn't have known that if they call me, don't talk to them, be like, I'll call you back. That's a great trick no matter what. Anyone that calls you, be like, you know what, I'm going to call you back. You know what, this is going to be on my terms.
Yeah, with Sprint, it's like *2 and you call them back. Sprint calls me all the time and I'm talking to a person. Apparently you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Because there are people that are gifted thieves now.
Yes, con men.
And I don't know, I'm not sure how they did it, but it's the only reason I'm assuming it was someone digging through my garbage and finding old stuff is that they were delivered to a hotel just 2 blocks. These devices were sent to a hotel near my house.
Right.
That's not a coincidence.
I'm
not willing to accept it.
Don't accept it. at the hotel. Don't accept it at your home.
Certainly not in your home.
There's no way that is a coincidence. There's no way.
I'm so embarrassed about it that I'm sweating.
Well, don't be. Are you kidding? This fucking happens to people constantly.
I've kept it to myself, but we know that I like to blurt every... I've gotten so much trouble on this podcast. I've gotten comedy clubs mad at me.
Yeah.
I just blurt.
I warned you about that.
You know that I do it. I know you did. I know you did, and I do. I do it, and I did it.
I did and do.
I do A-E-I-O-U.
Oh. We have to get it out. Listen, there's no... If something bad happens to you like that, it's good to talk about it, because one of the benefits, it's not like you can redo any of that happening. You can just help other people have it not happen to them.
And I guess what I... The thing I've learned about myself, or the thing I can glean from it, is when shit hits the fan like that, where they're like, hi, you owe Sprint $10,000, I don't freak out. I'm like... Oh, well, this is hilarious. This is scarier than an IRS man coming, because at least you can reason with them. They're the government or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you think you can. It was scary. You know, kind of like if there's muggers. You know how I've fought off muggers before.
Well, yes. I mean, your jujitsu skills are fucking nuts. It's probably why they're so jealous of you and stole your identity in the first place.
And I've had no training.
Right? That's what's
weird. It's just inherent jujitsu.
Mm-hmm. It's jujitsu in the soul. Really?
I have, through my blood coursing, the ability to jujitsu. And I never even asked for it. It was just gifted, like I was on a mountaintop with some monks.
They were like, do you want jujitsu? And you were like,
sure.
Jujitsu. And sure jitsu. That was terrible. It wasn't even a pun. It didn't even sound like anything.
The problem with being around me is I rub off on people. And it's the parts of me that aren't that are maybe annoying. People throughout my life, I've said, I've been doing this now. When I talk, I spit because I'm around you, or when things I've always done, that's a bad example.
Oh, I thought you meant me and I got really embarrassed. I'm a big spitter.
Oh, we're editing my special. Oh, let me talk.
Oh, Mindy.
Oh, Canada. Oh, did I tell you I auditioned for a Mork and Mindy show and tried very hard to do a young Robin Williams impression.
No.
And turns out they actually said I wasn't hairy enough.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
The guy that they hired looked exactly like Robin Williams and did a very good impression of him, but he wasn't like a comedian.
Right.
So I really still think they should have hired me. Anyway.
How long ago was this?
This was a decade ago. Yes. It was a made-for-TV, Mork and Mindy specific biopic about Robin Williams and his transition into fame.
And his hair.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had very hairy arms. I don't have a lot of body hair. I'm not bragging.
I mean, but what they're saying is you could get extensions, but you're not willing to make the sacrifice.
Right. Exactly. Okay. You know, I've always said no one touches this skin, certainly not the skin on my arms.
Wait, can I sidebar you really quick?
Oh, please do.
Or were you trying to make a point separate from Robert?
Know what? I probably wouldn't have gotten back there.
I was just going to say, it just made me remember, last night we recorded at the studio, and on my way home, I realized I didn't bring my normal glasses. I only had my sunglasses, but it was 9 o'clock at night, and my sunglasses are prescription, so I had to drive home last night with my sunglasses on in the dark.
And you couldn't.
Fucking hilarious.
Did you have that song in your head the whole time?
I mean,
it's hard not to.
A little bit. But I really, you look like such a dumbass. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like you think that looks good.
Right.
It does not.
It bothers me when people have sunglasses on at night.
Yeah. Well, it's stupid. Like, you don't need them, and so clearly they're doing it for some weird reason.
Right, right. But you know what? The other side of that coin is, don't mess around with the guy in Shizmo. I don't know. That's just part of it, right?
It is. That's one of the biggest parts of it, I would say.
Oh, I was going to say, we've been editing my special. I'm very excited about it.
And yes.
It looks good, but I spit so much.
Do
and
you?
It is well lit. So much spit flies out of my mouth while I'm doing comedy that I'm thinking of naming it, Hey, Come Spit With Me.
That's a really good idea. Wait a second. I'm trying to think of like a I want to get in on this naming spit. Yeah, a spit naming
I
thing.
I don't know what to name my special.
The spit roast. No, you're not a roast comic.
Roast me on a spit. honest spit.
Could I mm-hmm. bend your ear for a spittle? No, that's terrible.
We should spitball this. Spitballing.
Yep.
Spitballing.
Spitballing.
Just spitballing.
But it's spit, B-A-W-L-I-N-G, like you're crying. Because you're crying about how much you spit.
And there's a substantial amount of talking about crying in the special. It's perfect.
Yes.
Spitballing it is.
Spitballing. We've done it, and it's done.
I don't know what to call it. That was the same with my album. I just called it Fairbanks because I didn't know what else to call it.
Yeah,
it's not that important.
I don't think so, but I think it's funny. Like, please ignore how much I spit as a title of a special is hilarious.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Because then when people watch it and see you spit, they'll laugh additionally.
Oh, you're right. I'm adding jokes by having
and
that
Easter
title.
Eggs.
Ooh, people love a hidden Easter egg.
Ugh. Okay, I'm driving us up in here because I'm looking. We're gonna look at houses.
Oh, we're after shopping for houses.
Yeah. I just, I really like this area.
Ooh, I do too.
Isn't it cool? I think George Clooney lives somewhere around here.
Oh, could he? Is there anyone? He's one of my favorite celebrities.
He's the coolest.
Yeah, I know that he's cool. I've heard too many stories.
Yeah.
That about him being cool.
And he's fun, you mean, like?
And throughout his life, even since he is young and
Facts of Life.
Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you for Pete's sake. I knew you'd jump in there.
You knew.
He's always had these pet pigs, and it's great.
There's a
house. Google right now a picture of George Clooney with a pig. You'll see pictures from the 80s, pictures from the 90s.
He liked pigs before they were, like, hip.
Before pigs were awesome, which yeah. is an Instagram account I enjoy. he was into pigs early on.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's the Kermit of movie stars.
He's also somebody you know would be fun to, like, drink with
mm-hmm.
if you were stuck somewhere. You
right.
have good times. If there's a blizzard and you're all at his house, it would be a blowout.
If you, as someone that's been sober for a while, if Clundug came up and said, hey, do you want a whiskey, Karen? Would you leap off the wagon?
I would never look back. I would cash in everything I had. I would lose it all for one sesh of drinking whiskey with fucking George Clooney. The only problem is that I would behave so badly. You know what I mean? The behavior would go off the rails very quickly.
You'd be a Chelsea Handler woman behaving badly.
I'd be one of those booze moms everyone loves to Instagram about.
I like to reference short-lived TV shows from years ago.
Was that a sitcom? Women behaving?
I don't know. Kara Saldanovich was on it, and she's
hilarious.
I really like a lot.
I love her.
Yeah,
such a good stand-up comic.
I like where we're at. Look at that farmhouse.
Do you like this weird freestanding chair that's in the middle of the street?
Oh, wow. That is that's from a minivan or something.
So creepy.
It's confronting us.
Yeah.
It's do not pass.
I don't like it. I don't like that
honk,
at all.
Honk. Do you know George Clooney?
Pardon me. Oh, okay.
Well, look at that doggy.
Oh.
Can you see through the fence?
Maybe it's... No, you're seeing a dog that I can't see.
Is anyone else seeing the dog? This is a cool, pretty area.
We did just pass. I've always been into well-groomed, well-shaped hedges, especially the ones at Dairy Queen that look like a soft-serve cone.
Yeah.
But these little... I remember we were at my grandma's house and my friend came with me. We were in like sixth grade and their hedges were always like perfect, right angled, perfectly cut, full hedges. Like so perfect that they're like the branches are like an inch thick, but they're, you know, they've just been cut for years. And my friend put his elbow up on it and rested it on there as he's talking to my grandpa as a joke. But my grandpa didn't laugh and he just kept it there. And I'll never forget that. I was like, that was some good comedy for my sixth grade friend. I'll show him and I'll end up doing comedy.
That's where, do you think you got the bug bitten right there? That
right
hedge
there.
Moment?
Right there.
They call that a hedging moment.
Oh, yes, yes, they always have.
They always in comedy?
When was your hedge moment in comedy?
I guess when I stood on the bench in sixth grade at lunchtime at my new school and did an impression, speaking of the facts of life, mm-hmm. of Jerry, Blair's cousin Jerry, who had cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And I did an impression of Jerry for everyone in...
Which now you know would be bad.
I kind of knew it was bad at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem was my impression was dead fucking on.
Right.
So a group of children gathered round.
Of course.
Because it was such a good impression to watch me. But the playground monitor, of course, she didn't get the reference. She just thought I was making fun of a handicapped person.
Oh, no,
so
yeah.
Well, I went to the principal's office.
Yep.
And that's when I thought to myself, yes, this is what I'm about.
I will defend you right now.
Thank you.
Defend young you.
Well, I think
when you're a kid, you do whatever you can to make other kids laugh.
Yes.
And it's oftentimes it's at the expense of others. Oftentimes that's called bullying.
But if the person isn't there,
right.
Is it bullying?
Who's being
stop
hurt?
Stop sign. Yeah. How's your stop
hurt?
Sign working out?
Yeah.
Friend?
I knew he wanted to ignore it. This is a nice area. Which place are you going to buy, Karen?
No, I don't know. I would like a hill in the backyard.
That. What about that one? You should live there.
That's a nice ranch-style home. I don't know. I just think it's cool because I didn't realize there were these little tucked-away neighborhoods up here. The only problem is now we're getting back toward, not Studio City, but we're getting back too far this way because I think I want to live back that way more. But see how many houses are for sale?
Yeah. Wow.
Lots of them.
They are cool and they're all a little different.
Yeah. I just want a pool. That's all.
Oh, yeah. But wait. Don't you really? How often do you use the pool you have?
Oh, my God. It's not about how often I use
it. Oh, certainly it isn't.
It's when I use it. Do I use it to its fullest capacity?
Oh, right. Okay.
And the answer is, I sure the fuck do.
Yeah. You swim around the edge, touching every single tile twice.
I make my own whirlpool, and I will whirlpool myself.
You put on a snorkel and a mask, and you hand pick up all the leaves at the bottom.
Yes, that's my favorite activity. Actually, I have been really getting into lately... Ooh, that looks good.
Oh, wow.
Can you take a picture of that sign for me? Thank you.
Yeah, I also have seen her picture on some other signs. She might cue you into some other area houses.
Yeah, that one is clearly...
I got it.
There's people. Thank you, Steve. There's certain real estate people.
I almost apologized to a stick that you drove over like it was stepping on someone's foot. Whoops, pardon me. My apologies.
We certainly don't want to be stepping on any stick toes. There's another. Oh, that's for lease. No, I'm not going to lease a house. That's a waste.
Yeah, it's bad that people say leasing is wrong.
It's against the environment.
So I'm probably going to, if I ever do on purpose, get a new phone. That's how you end up doing it.
That you actually use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That actually ends up being activated by me.
No.
Ooh, just get that plot of land.
Yeah.
Build and just something.
Literally run up that hill constantly. I mean, there's some nice trees up there.
It is beautiful. Man, I kind of want to go camping. Is anyone with me on that?
You know where I would want to go? That I don't think I've been to, as far as I can tell, mm-hmm. is this, is it the Sequoias? The one that's basically kind of like up toward, on the way to Mammoth, but it's a little further east.
Wow, I mean, there are those kind of trees. It has to be. Sequoia National Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Sure. It's kind of Yosemite-ish?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to see that.
It's worth seeing. There's so many beautiful places around Southern California and close to Los Angeles that we just are so worried about auditioning for cat food commercials that we don't go and look at them. And I want to start. I want to buy a tent.
Mm.
And I want to get a backpack. And I want to get mauled by a bear.
I
went downhill fast.
I've done a lot of camping.
This could be your punk rock neighbor.
I'm going to tell her how much we have in common. Do you like Susie and the Banshees too?
Susie.
Susie, I just don't ever want to camp again, but I do want to be in nature and then retreat to a gorgeous hotel.
Right.
Yeah. That's the kind of asshole I am.
Yeah, I think I like the sleeping, looking at stars thing. I think I'm into that, but I do want to be warm.
You can't look at stars when you're asleep, and I'm sorry to argue with you, but I have to call you on your bullshit.
Here's what I do. I rub my eyes really, you're not supposed to do this, but I rub my eyes really intensely. And for a minute, even with them closed, you will see stars.
You make your own stars.
Or you can have a cartoon character hit you on the head with some object and then you'll see stars.
I mean, hopefully an oversized mallet if you're going to be authentic to the genre. Oh, God damn it.
These are beautiful homes.
I want to be a part of this community.
I do too. There's all these, like, that home looks like it's somewhere in Astoria, Oregon.
Yes.
It's like all green, lush. What is that, a fern?
Oh, is
and
that...
then this one, what are we, in the outskirts of Chicago?
I know, right? It's every style because... Los Angeles is just a bunch of people who are transplants from other places.
Look at this.
Look
wrong
at that.
Side of the tracks. That, Boise, Idaho.
It's like, yeah, that looks like country Petaluma, where it's like, we don't have to mow our front yard if we don't want to.
It's almost like every house, every family in these houses is trying to look like they're from a different area.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very, that whole neighborhood was like inconsistent in a really cool way.
Imagine it during Halloween.
Oh. I can't stop thinking.
Oh.
I want to decorate all those homes for Halloween.
Okay, I'm going to show you a house that I've actually looked on the inside of.
We really are doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll help you decide.
Okay,
very exciting.
It's all, they're all too expensive and it's all very like, this seems like a bad idea. But I just think I need to do it at the same time.
Yes.
You know how it is. But
well,
it's
if
also,
you need any help with wallpapering, painting, any of that.
Electrician stuff you're really good at.
I've been postponing all of it. So I can go to your house, get it started, and leave most of the items.
Okay.
And unused glue just on the floor, and then you can walk around that.
Okay. So basically, you're kind of a starter for when I hire the real person.
I need help.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
So when you hire a real person, send them over my way because I probably still won't have done it.
It's, you mean you need help for yourself, but.
You come first.
What's funny is it would be funny to hire a person and like on their card it said like they're a handyman, but it just says I need help. Like I can't do this. It's too much already. And then you still hire them anyway.
I'm still just two hands. I'm not a magician. I'm a handyman.
Hey.
That's what it says on the card.
And then there's a guy with really big hands.
I have been YouTubing. You can pretty much, it's pretty interesting how you can YouTube anything and someone will have made a how-to video.
Yes, that's true. I actually looked up, and Steven knows this because we had a coffee maker in the exactly right studio that we ordered, the Ninja, and we only had it for a month, and it started doing this weird thing, basically just shutting itself off. And I watched a YouTube video. They literally, the exact problem, like it took one Google search.
Right.
To find a guy who'd made a video about how to fix your Ninja if this thing is happening.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Right. I found the how to install a lamp video was my actual lamp that I bought. But it's just like not how to install it into a 1930s home with crumbly wires.
This house.
This is a beautiful house.
Wow.
This is the one I looked at.
Uh-huh.
It's perfect. I love it. It's a little too expensive.
Yeah, it's fancy.
But it's big and fancy, and it has the most beautiful pool and backyard.
Oh, wow.
It's like a dream. But I thought, we looked at it. This is the first house I looked at. And I was like, it's perfect. I just want to get it. And then I was like, don't do that. Don't be that way about it. So I've looked at other places, but this is kind of my, like, this is the one to beat.
It is beautiful. I like that modern looking door.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, I'm a big modern furniture person. like the furniture you can get at Art of Cold.
Yes, kind of like a mid-century feel.
Yeah, man, there's nothing better. And it's then when so you cool. got other stuff, like a rustic whiskey-drinking leather chair, you got to get rid of it all of a sudden. It's all modern or go home and or stay home.
Or you can keep like a leather whiskey-drinking chair as a singular piece and right. just feature it
yeah.
and focus it.
I guess so. I gotta have a corner of the room that's like, here's my whiskey foxtrot, whiskey cavalier corner.
Can I just say though that one of the reasons that I was thinking that that house wouldn't be good to buy is because it would be so busy and noisy during commute hours.
Oh,
and it's
maybe.
Not busy. We're on the street right now. It's not busy in the least.
Oh, that's a nice El Camino.
Yeah, there's some good shit around here.
Right when my grandpa was sick towards the end of his life, he bought a El Camino that was all black, and I believe it said Ghost Rider
what?
On the side.
On the side of the car?
Yeah, and I don't know if there's a Grim Reaper or anything, but this was a new hot rod pickup truck car, like a, you know, an El Camino.
Shit.
And I rode in it once. My dad was driving, and it's rear wheel drive. We hit a patch of ice, did about 4 360s on a freeway in the winter, but we were okay.
Okay.
The car was okay.
Good.
Yeah.
And
it was sold. You know.
Aww.
It's sad. People. You know. It's just how life is.
Well, and also, luckily, it wasn't like your grandpa's lifelong El Camino. It
no.
was just like, oh, I got this because it's a fun,
cool
car.
Yeah. It's just, you know, when you're a kid, you remember things differently. Maybe it was a year before he passed. I don't know.
Who knows?
But man, that car, it makes me want to get a black El Camino and put Ghost Rider on the side.
Yeah, it's kind of the coolest thing I've ever heard of.
It is really the coolest thing for a grandpa to have. Hey, he was a cool grandpa.
He sounds like that.
Yeah.
Did he wear like Ben Davis pants and stuff?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Truck driver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tall. You know, he's a tough guy.
Sure.
Yeah. Ghost Rider.
Folded flannel shirts folded at the elbow type
of
stuff.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
Are
I know
you kidding?
Him. I know his type.
He never covered up those forearms.
Why would he?
No.
That's
a lot of people roll up their sleeves right before they do a task. What if you're always doing tasks? You just don't need sleeves.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's why he wore everything sleeveless. Oh, I don't want to go back down. Ooh, Mulholland, get away. I can't believe how not busy this area is. I thought it was going to be crazy, and
no,
it's
this
the
is
opposite.
Perfect. I mean, we are in, this is kind of rush hour time.
Yeah, it is.
And it's,
it's
I
the height
of.
Okay, well, then I'm going to buy that house.
This is beautiful.
Look how pretty.
You have my permission to get it.
You really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's gorgeous.
It's a pretty great house, and it has that thing that I love, which is the wall that faces the backyard where the pool is. It's just sliding glass doors, so you can have like the entire back of the house open, basically.
Yeah, wow, that's like in every movie, that's what drug dealers have.
Yeah, that's what I, as a drug dealer, want.
Yeah.
I can deal my drugs better right there on the corner.
Karen, don't be saying this, we're recording.
Oh, whoops.
So what was it like in Denver? The show, was it fun?
Oh, our Denver show was majestic.
Was it?
Yeah. Those audiences are so good.
Denver specifically. Yeah.
They know, they love comedy, they support comedy, they watch it all the time, they have great taste.
I don't know of another town that has more of a supportive scene than Denver.
They're the new Portland. Portland was the new San Francisco. It's all super cool. And I got, like, right before the show started, I got a little nervous because, and I know I've told you this story before, but when I first started doing stand-up, like very first, after working in TV for 5 years and then leaving and then going doing stand-up again, mm-hmm. The first thing I did was Greg Barrett had me middle for him at the Irvine Improv, which I was terrible, but I was back on my feet.
I remember this time period.
Yeah.
Because I was his middle often.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, you totally took I was depending on it that week.
Well, I needed to go and eat it. And I did. But then I got, my agent called and said, do you want to open for the Flight of the Conchords in Denver? It's a one-nighter and you have to fly yourself out. And I was like, absolutely. Because I love the Flight of the Conchords, of course,
like
any normal person.
Sure.
Well, one of the things I forgot to specify to the people, because of course the Flight of the Conchords are a music act. And so they have their
Here's your future house.
There it is. Ding, yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Boy.
Love it.
I'll never live somewhere like that.
You don't know that. Do not say it.
We'll see.
Don't say it.
We'll see.
Envision it.
No, you know my routine. If I say that it's not going to happen, what are the chances of it actually not happening?
You shoot
That's
it down.
That's a coincidence. You can't shoot something down, shut it out of your life, and then also have it not happen. That's just too coincidence.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's two coincidences.
Oh, I'll never have a Topaz Ferrari. Hey.
Hey, look.
That's such a specific car. I'll probably have one now.
It's inevitable, yeah.
Hope no one breaks into my car as I park it here. Now they're not going to break in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying.
I think so.
A lot of people are like, don't put that in the universe. I'm saying.
And you're saying put it in and challenge the universe.
Yes, challenge the universe.
Okay. Well, my end of that anecdote is I didn't specify for them to not wrap the mic cord around the mic stand 50 times like they do for musicians.
Oh, right.
So when I went out, I couldn't take the mic off the mic stand. So I just had to stand there. And then I couldn't kind of get anything going or like be myself because I was now this weird stand in one spot comic, which was very bad.
It's the first thing you have to fumble with. It takes away all your power. Whoa, the cord's going through the thing.
Yeah.
People are watching you do it. You haven't said anything yet.
Yeah.
During my special, no mic stand. My cordless mic on a bench.
Yeah, right? Because you don't want to... It's weird, dumb business.
Not a bench.
Not a...
I had a park bench. Oh, the background is great. It's a Gorky Park, like, period park.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
An old man in the background of your
pigeons.
Special.
We had live pigeons on set.
The end of this story...
Sorry.
And it's going to be worth it. Not at all. Is that I ate it so deeply royally opening for the Flight of the Conchords that a guy wrote an article about how bad I was.
No way.
In some Denver, you know, comedy newspaper that of course I got my hands on and then freaked out forever of like, I shouldn't be doing this, which is kind of fine. It set me off of the path of...
Does he still write comedy?
I have no idea. I don't know who it was.
Okay.
It was just basically going, the opener sucked. The Flight of the Conchords are amazing.
Because there's a nice guy there, John Wenzel, who wrote a book about comedy and he's written articles when I'm there. He seems really... He would never do that.
It's probably not him.
Probably not him. Yeah.
But
he's great. All I wanted to say is he's great and he wasn't the guy.
Probably not. But we can't ever know.
Why was the cord wrapped around the mic so much?
Because they're musicians and that's how they have their mics. So
yeah,
nobody was adjusting it for what I needed.
And they had scarves and things hanging from the mic stand too.
Basically, I just wanted to do well in front of a Denver audience because right at the 11th hour, I was like, what if I eat it again?
And then
like the discerning and tough customer Denver crowd is like, nah, she's not that good. And the show was awesome. And I was so excited because I was like, I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It basically got rid of it, like deleted that fail off of my...
Do you feel like the audience there has changed and is way better now? Just because they've been kind of trained to be a comedy town, I feel like.
I may be. I mean, but I was giving them nothing to enjoy. I'll say this. I was bad. It was bad material. But normally I had a little bit of play. I could kind of like make it seem a little bit interesting because I would have personality behind it.
Yeah.
But being stuck on the mic stand, you're just like, you're weirdly like Stephen Wright all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
Also, stand-up's hard and you have to do it all the damn time. And if you haven't been doing it...
Yeah, you can't just pick up gigs after 5 years of not doing it.
No, I can't even do it after taking a month off.
Yeah, it's...
And predictably do well.
Horrible. And even if you do well, like we were talking about earlier, we can't see our own good, like, thing. Because we're the ones doing it.
Right, I only see me. I can really see my bad thing, though.
Yeah, I'm so good at the bad things. So it was like, all in all... I feel like that is such a good feeling to delete the old fail that, like...
Was it weird around the Flight of the Conchords guy, Jermaine, and the other guy?
No, they were so nice.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
But I left immediately after my set. It was bad enough so that I was just like, goodbye.
Did you cry? Sometimes I cry after it goes really bad.
I definitely have. That time I kind of was like more bewildered, like, why did I volunteer for this?
Right.
It's very weird of me.
Sure. You took the realistic approach.
Yes, of like, who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I and what's happening?
Yes. Well, I always think I'm never going to feel that way again. Like, oh, because you'll have a dozen good shows. It's like, I'm finally in full control over this.
Yeah.
This art of mine. And no.
No.
Eating it is always there for you.
It's a surprise every time because it's, you know, it's like the crowd, your own mood, the amount of material you do or don't have.
Right.
The other things going on in your life. Like, I just did goddamn Comedy Jam. I had no material. I didn't realize I was supposed to do a set beforehand.
Yeah.
I scraped up 6 jokes that Lizzie texted to me.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I was like, do you remember any jokes of mine? Yeah, I have to do a set.
Yeah.
And then basically told the audience, I haven't done a set in 6 months and didn't know I was supposed to do this now. Listen to these ideas, and then I'll get out of your hair, basically.
And it ended up being really fun.
Of course, because...
Yeah, you give that disclaimer.
Yes, the disclaimer, and performing live doing the podcast does a lot of the same things. It's just not that written material.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not cold, you know.
Yeah, I bet you're really comfortable on stages in front of thousands of people.
Yes, it's gotten...
Yeah.
It has gotten a little bit. Where then you're doing other things and going, oh, this isn't the be-all, end-all. I can suck right now, and that's okay, too. Whereas my entire stand-up career, it's like the idea of sucking was like automatic death.
Yeah, when in reality, way more people are judging the words I'm saying right now, listening to this, than have ever, than months of doing live shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, but you don't know that.
No, or I try not to think about it.
The ignorance.
It's bliss.
Oh my God.
But I do. I want you to start doing stand-up again.
Okay.
And I want you to start that band. And I want you to clean your room. No, it's your house looks nice and clean.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's really nice to have a clean house when you have 2 dogs.
Yeah.
It felt so impossible for so long.
Do they help at all clean the house?
No, they don't. I like to remind them often that they bring nothing to the table in terms of how the house runs. They're spoiled. They complain all the time.
That's not true. Tonight, one of your doggies brought a chew toy to the table and you almost rolled your ankle on it.
That was one of Frank's tricks. You can tell that he's a con man from the streets. Because he slid that bully stick right under my foot and then I, ice skating style from a cartoon, went sliding backwards.
And then he had 3 cups and he said, which one has the marble under it? And he grifted me.
And then I said, I'm not playing that game. It's a oh, it's clearly under that cup.
Where the hell's my wallet?
And then Frank's the one that's ordering tablets and phones. What? Oh.
You know what? I'd be way less mad if I found out it was a dog doing all this.
It would be pretty awesome, actually. You'd get your own segment on Good Morning America, I bet.
Did you, when you were a kid, did you have a grown-up in a McGruff suit come to your school and teach you about, do you know who McGruff the crime dog is?
I sure do.
He's a detective dog.
I know.
Did he ever come to your school?
He's a Columbo-based detective dog.
Yes. He had a trench coat.
No, I think I was too old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have Sprocket Man, the bicycle safety superhero, come to your school?
Never.
He may have been local to Missoula. He was in all red. A lot of grown men in costumes.
Yeah. We had Mrs. Terwilliger, who would come and explain. She had this van where the sides opened, and then she had all these pieces of nature, and she would just explain to you what everything was. So she'd be like, he has a robin's nest. And she was like this old lady with gray hair.
Well, she was like a Mother Nature superhero.
Yes.
Lady.
Wow. But yeah, she was awesome. But that was for like little kids.
Yeah.
And it was basically like, if you see this snake nest, don't put your arm in it. It was a lot of that.
Oh, wow. See, that's actually useful.
Yeah.
A lot of kids, you know, stick their hands right in a snake nest.
I mean, it's so irritating. But I saw the McGruff the Crime Dog cartoons on when we would watch cartoons, but no one ever showed up in...
Right. I think a lot of people have seen the cartoons. Someone actually had a professionally made costume and multiple times came to my school because mainly they're saying, go to a house with my name on it or my picture in the window if you are being... You know, because everyone's getting kidnapped in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was my biggest fear. It really always was. And every day I thought I was going to get kidnapped.
Yeah. I'm glad you did thought that because it probably kept you spry, alert.
Right. I was kind of a paranoid kid in general, but also I think it was smart of my parents to be like, hey, there's people that grab you.
Yes.
And so everyone was a kidnapper walking to school. I just, you know.
I think I've said this before, but my sister, as a teacher, tells her kids all the time, adults don't need help from kids. If an adult is asking you for help for something,
get away. Oh my God,
that's
perfect.
Yeah, because it's the perfect explanation where it's just like, oh, can you help me find this dog? Can you help me? That's how they usually get little kids.
That's the worst.
Like, draw them in. And so...
God, that makes me mad.
Yeah.
Some weird,
creepy,
sweaty, foreheaded Stanley Tucci character. What was that movie?
Oh, Lovely Bones.
That was hard for me.
It's tough.
It's a tough ride, that movie.
Have you read the book?
No, I don't know if I can. Also, I don't know if I know how to read. It's been so long. I did a little interview thing for my manager's website, is a Vail website, and she just kind of interviewed all her clients. And one of the questions was, it had book follow-up questions too. And I felt so dumb that I didn't have an example of a book I've been reading.
Oh God.
It made me go and at least just flip through it. David Sedaris book. You know, essays. I can tackle those.
And David Sedaris, that's the most readable anything on the planet.
It's the best. Yeah.
He's so good.
So I just looked at a few pages so I could put down Dress Your Family in Corduroy and or whatever it was.
Is the essay in that one when he talks about being in art school and his dad coming to his art show?
I think so, because that sounds familiar, but it might be from one of the other ones.
It is the best. If you have a chance to read David Sedaris' essay about being on, I think he's on like Crank or something, and doing a performance art show, and his dad comes. I was laughing so hard on a plane that like I had to stop reading it because I was making a scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was choke, like volume laughing. It was so embarrassing, and it was so funny.
I get a lot of, you see him on Twitter and everything, you see him too, but people say that our podcast does that for them sometimes.
Oh, like it embarrasses them at work?
No, well, because a lot of people are listening privately.
Yes, I love it. I mean, that's the ultimate compliment.
The ultimate compliment is you getting fired while listening to us.
Is you getting on work detention for some reason.
You better be laughing at how quickly you're finishing that progress report.
Right away, Mr. Terwilliger.
Assume you all work in 50s offices.
But for the lady that shows children nature things that I just mentioned.
God, that sounds familiar, but we grew up in different towns, so there's no way.
Yeah, I think she was local.
But
Sonoma County.
I think that we had a woman like that, but it was just puppets.
She was a puppet?
Yeah, puppeteer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she would talk about nature?
I think just talk to herself using puppets. The scenes really never went anywhere, and she maybe wasn't even hired by the school. She was just there.
She was just right on the chain link fence in the playground?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone wants to entertain the kids for a while. Let's all us teachers go have a smoke break.
Is that her?
You found the woman?
Mrs. Terwilliger?
Yes.
How'd you find her?
That's her.
Google help with spell.
Wow, good work, Stephen. Well, I love her face.
This is the difference between a clam and a mussel type of stuff.
Oh, wow, she's the best.
Isn't she good?
She's your, by the way, with Vi. She's your Vi Thompson.
What if I brought up a picture and it was
you.
Me?
Oh, that would be nuts. Do you remember any photo shoots with that woman?
I mean,
There you are.
People love to photo shoot with me.
Is that you in the bowl cut with the boy's face?
Look at her, but you'd go out to the beach with her and then she'd be like, dig down here and that's how you find the do-do-do. You know what I mean? Like she knew all the tricks.
I can't remember. It's a vague memory, but I wasn't quite that young, but it was friends of my old ex-stepmom. We were in like the Puget Sound somewhere and went, these nice old folks on their boat took us crabbing And they were so sweet. They were like, it was a really fun time. And I was trying to, I was a rebellious little kid, like not wanting to be there for some reason. I was having one of my moods.
Yeah.
And they were so sweet and showing me the traps and how they catch the crabs. And my dad and I were in this little boat, the, not the main boat, but the boat they pull the traps and empty them in. And all of a sudden they emptied this trap and 30 crabs that looked like giant spiders are just coming. We both almost jumped out of the boat. It was so, and they were just laughing. And they were these sweet old people. And then they just pick up the crabs and twist them like a smoke detector.
Yeah.
And throw them in, like, crabs that were moving.
Yeah.
And boiling them. I'm like, oh, you old folks have an edge to you.
Yo, yeah.
And that woman the same. She probably could grab a snake from the snake pile.
Hell yes.
And not be scared of it.
She would be, she'd teach that snake a lesson if she found it, but she would be gentle with it. Maybe put a little hat on it.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
It's pretty cool. Well, you know what's funny too? That's so funny of you saying like that you're a little, in a little mood, because it's like, especially back then, like my parents never checked to make sure we ate lunch or, you know what I mean? Like yeah, it wasn't yeah. like... being tended to the way kids are tended to these days, I'm just so jealous because I would get in moods or whatever because I'm super sugar sensitive. So if I didn't have anything to eat and then they'd be like, you'll be fine. Well, just wait till we get to the restaurant.
Right.
By the time we got to the restaurant, I would be in tears
for
some reason.
And you're right. My mood went away once I had a little crab meat.
Yes.
I was like, just hungry that
there's
day.
There's reasons. God damn it, there's reasons.
No, it was neat. I remember... one of the man, I wish I remembered who these people were. They just, that woman reminded me, that picture of her. Mm-hmm. He was just like a
family friend,
gentle
basically.
Old boatman, but I was in a mood and he said, hey, cheer up, you should be in a better mood. And I snapped right out of it. This nice old man was like noticing and I'm like, oh, I thought I was being more subtle.
Yes.
I need to work on, okay.
Yeah.
I'm back. I'm having fun. Let's go crabbing.
I don't want you to be mad at me, old man.
Yeah, who I never knew and saw again.
But he made an impression, that's how.
So the point is, not all strangers are bad, kids.
That's
some
right.
Some teach you life lessons.
if it's a fisherman, their chances are they're good. So here's the problem with that idea, though, of putting a sticker on a house.
Right.
With McGruff the crime
bug.
What
a great way to get kids to come to your house.
Exactly. The other thing, too, is ask a mom. That's another thing that my sister always says. If you think you're in trouble, go run and find a mom.
Yeah, that's very anti-dad.
Yeah, it is. That's right, it is.
Yeah, how do you know it's a mom?
If dads don't like a lady with kids...
I mean, it might be the dragon lady. She looked like a mom.
Your odds are...
That's a lady in my neighborhood that looked like a witch.
That you ran to for
it
help?
It would be that every kid was scared of. The point is, they come in all shapes and sizes, these scary ladies.
No.
They're people.
But usually the ladies, it's more overt. Like a dragon lady's gonna be like, get the fuck away from me, I'm the dragon lady.
She would drive around ride around on a bike. She wore all black. Her house was entirely spray painted with graffiti. My mom was the sewer billing person. She didn't use the city plumbing. And her house was right by my school, and covered with graffiti. Get out. Stay out.
Oh, no.
And now, in retrospect, I think other people spray painted her house. It wasn't her.
Oh, no.
But she wore tons of makeup and had a black veil. So she kind of was like, hey, I want to look creepy.
Yeah.
And she was a dragon lady. And my mom always was nice to her. And she's like, oh, she's fine. She came in. Why are they honking? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
That person was going
too slow.
But she's a real person. And everyone was scared of her. Everyone remembers who that was.
Yeah. Well, she's going to make a real impression. That's like the lava lady. I just recently found out that the lady I like to talk about and called the unicorn lady here in L.A., her actual name that people know her by is the Lava Lady, because her house is made of lava rock, or was.
Oh, wow.
I think she's passed away at this point. But she used to walk around on La Brea around 3rd, and she had a bun that went straight up like a unicorn. Like it was like a
like
horn.
Like a Marge Simpson type?
Well, yeah, but it was more like a bun. So it was but it went straight up. She was crazy skinny, and then she would wear these like insane platform shoes, and it was nuts. She was fascinating, and crazy makeup, and her like really strangely like tan face. And she was just like local color, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. Were there rumors about her being? I mean, people would say if you went to the Dragon Lady's house and tried to open the gate, you'd get hit with a hammer. Like, there's really specific stories.
I started a rumor about the lava lady that she was a slut, but nobody, it didn't catch on at all. I just like saying it. The best possible rumor.
Oh. And the sad part is, now that I'm thinking about it, what if you were a kid in need, and much like Boo Radley or whatever, the Dragon Lady was there to save you?
Yes, and wanted to, and kept her eye on you.
All she wanted was to have a emotional connection with a kid.
You guys, my front door is open.
Is that bad? Do you think you left it open? Do you think your dogs...
No, because that screen door's closed.
Okay.
I mean, I guess let's go find out.
Well, I guess we're going to go inside Karen's house and see if there is a burglar. It's funny. This is just on the heels of McGruff. And someone's in your house right now.
I mean, it was me. I was the last one out, so...
If you never hear an episode from us again, there was indeed someone in the house. He was able to overpower the three of us.
Oh, shit.
So this might be the last episode.
But probably not.
Do you have anything to plug before we go get stabbed?
I don't think so. Okay. Although, you know, thanks for listening all this time.
Sure.
You know, if this is the last podcast we ever do, what a great opportunity we've had.
And I'm just going to assume that, and this is after the fact, of course, but I put up a good fight with this guy in Karen's house. I tried to save us both. He just was able to overpower me. I only weigh 160. What do I weigh?
You'd like 165?
Yeah, I'm 165. Thanks.
Steven, do you have your gun?
I always carry it on me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, good. He always has that little pink ankle gun.
Thanks for noticing.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N.
A-R!
Hong Kong!
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.